I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie. Yeah,
dude's dogs damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
No, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lou Gowerd is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gowerd on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lou Gowerd. Loogie. The Knicks are NBA champions. Get used to hearing it because the party has started and it's not ending anytime soon. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's start out with the emotions that I'm feeling, that my fellow Knicks fan is feeling. You know, you've heard me say this a lot during this run. 53 years for some. And for others, a lifetime. That's how long we have waited for this moment. For what we're feeling over the last 24 hours. Fighting back tears at times. Guttural noises coming out of our bodies. Jubilation. Childlike excitement. Because the basketball team that we love, the basketball team that unifies this city, the franchise that we pour so much emotion, so much time, so much money, so much of our brain power and time, which you can never get back. It's one of the one things in life you can't get back, it's time. And we have poured so much time into this franchise. And we did it for what we are experiencing right now and what we've been experiencing the last 24 hours. And that is the moment where you can say the basketball team you root for are world champions. The Knicks are at the top of the NBA mountain. No longer LOL Knicks. No longer in the sports abyss. No longer the worst franchise in the NBA and arguably the worst franchise in all of sports. No longer bridesmaids. No longer a joke. The Knicks are now the standard, the gold standard in this sport. Everybody in this league is looking up at the Knicks. They are looking up at New York City. And we, as fans, are right there with them on the top of the mountain. And I can't think of a team, really, of my lifetime that has been more connected to this city and this fan base. And I think it starts at the top with Jalen. Obviously, his father played for the Knicks, and Jalen is the captain of the team. He's the leader of the team. And he, better than anybody, understands how long and suffering Knicks fans have been with this franchise, with this basketball team. Waiting, hoping, wishing, praying for this type of run, this type of team, and it culminating in a championship. Jalen Brunson gets it. And he, I think, instilled that into his teammates. Hey, we put that Nick uniform on. That is a big-time responsibility. To this city that hasn't had a championship in quite some time across the four major sports. To a franchise that hasn't had a championship in 53 years. Generations of Nick fans waited for this moment. And it has finally arrived. And for me, I had not seen it my entire life. I always heard about the championships. I always heard about the glory years. I always heard about Clyde and Willis and the Buescher and the Pearl and so on and so forth. I had seen old tapes, or now with the benefit of YouTube, you can go back and watch the games and see the players' reaction and all the pageantry that goes into a championship. And you sat there as a Knick fan like you were looking out the window and you were grounded, and all your friends on a beautiful summer day were playing sports, playing tag or whatever it is that you did as a youngster. I don't think people go out anymore. They probably play video games. But I know when I was younger and we were kids, we actually went outside, especially in the summer. And we as Knick fans, especially of my generation and younger, who didn't get that moment, who didn't live through that, we were left watching YouTube, watching old clips, talking to our elders about when it used to be great. When New York City, Madison Square Garden, and the Knicks were at the top of the NBA mountain. When they were kings of the world. When the Mecca, when Madison Square Garden, the greatest arena in history of arenas, the cathedral of basketball, when that was the center of the sports universe. And to us, that was just a dream. That was just a story that you would hear at the dinner table, around the campfire, and it's something that you hoped one day, because that's what sports is all about. It's about hope. You hope for this. And there are fans that don't root for the Knicks. And maybe they've never seen a championship with their other teams that they root for. And they see the excitement and the partying and the exhilaration and all the emotions that we are going through as Knick fans, and they want a taste of that too. It is intoxicating, this feeling. And you've heard it really over the last 24 hours. If you caught my show last night, myself, Anthony Gallo, we were literally on the air as the final buzzer sounded and the Knicks were crowned champions of basketball. We were on the air. And then around midnight, I took over, and for 3 hours, I sat here. We had a couple of surprise guests and heard from caller after caller after caller. And the emotions, many in tears, that poured in, that called in. It told you all you needed to know about what this championship, after 53 years for some and a lifetime for others, it tells you what that championship means to this city. And how desperate we've been for one, especially this franchise. And how at times it felt like it was never going to get here.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
If you heard it once, you heard it a million times on this radio station, at a bar, at your job, wherever it is that you frequent. The Knicks will never win as long as James Dolan owns the team. That statement is on the Mount Rushmore of statements heard on this legendary radio station. And here we are, James Dolan owns the Knicks, and the Knicks are champions of basketball. But through the dark years, and during those years, it felt hopeless. You know, when you don't have a direction, when you are in the sports abyss, when you are in the depths of sports hell, when you are so out to sea that you can't see any ports. As a fan, you feel helpless. It feels hopeless. And you wonder, why us? Why us? You look around the league and this team's got a dynasty and this team has a championship and this team wins the lottery and this team has a superstar. For years and years and years, I had to look around and see other teams get star player after star player after star player. And the Knicks were left with the scraps. They were left with has-beens. They were left with never was. And they were left with bad basketball after bad basketball after bad basketball. And oh, by the way, that was on the heels of the 90s where the Knicks came oh so close in 94 and should have won a championship, and they didn't. They had a series of brutal playoff losses and playoff series losses. And then they got to the finals once again and were dismantled quite quickly. It was a magical run that year. It was a fun run. But they were dismantled quite quickly by the Spurs. And that was the last taste in your mouth, really, of that, you know, a little bit after. And then the abyss and the torment as a fan was just getting started. Because as bad as it was to get that close several times and not win, it was even worse when they stunk. And that's putting it mildly. Year after year after year after year. But through all of that, it made this moment even sweeter. It made it even sweeter. Because it made you appreciate just how hard it is, just how difficult it is to win a championship. And you appreciate just how long it could take to get there. 53 years. And there's no sports god that sits around and says, oh, 53 years, you're up for a championship. In fact, you're a little past due. We apologize. We'll give you two or three in a row just because we kept you waiting too long. This could have went 80 years. This could have went 100 years. There's a limit. But you knew something was brewing with this team for the last couple of years. You knew for the first time in a long time, the Knicks had a chance, a big time chance. And they were headed in the right direction and they had the right infrastructure. You knew it. But even then, you still got to win the championship. And I have said this on the air a lot through the years during this run. I said, I lived through the 90s. I grew up on the 90s Knicks. The 90s Knicks was the first team I ever fell in love with as a sports fan. Patrick Ewing was the first athlete I ever fell in love with as a sports fan. I idolized Madison Square Garden. I idolized this basketball team, and I loved everything about it. And that was a fun time to be a fan, especially with that being your first introduction to your basketball team. I was like, I remember thinking, this is great. Okay, they didn't win a championship, but I expected that to last forever in terms of they're good every year, and finally they're going to get over the hump one of these years. Little did I know what was on the horizon. But I said this about this group for the last couple years. I said, I lived through the 90s, like many of us have. And the last thing I would want for myself, for my fellow Knicks fans, for this organization, and for those players, the last thing I would want is to have another 90s run where they're good, sometimes great, but never champions. And I understand where we came from. And I think when Mike Breen said that at the end of the year so eloquently, about the expectations of this team and not forgetting where this team was and where they are now and how the expectations have changed. That being said, the last thing anybody wanted was for this group, especially a group that we love, You know, this team and these players in particular, this group, this era of Knicks basketball, which is now a golden era of Knicks basketball, now that they sealed the deal and won a championship, and they are primed to win more. This group is so beloved. You know, this is now, they are immortals, but even before this championship, we as Knicks fans, this team in particular, we wanted so badly to win a championship. Because, look, when you wait all these years, you get it any way you can get it. But it's not like they had to hire any sports mercenaries. It's not like they had to lose on purpose and get ping pong balls and build their team through the draft and do a lot of the things that, you know, kind of taint the NBA. And they're trying to figure out how to navigate the waters and kind of get away from that. And the Knicks are the model and perfect example of how to build a team the right way. With the unlikeliest of superstars in Jalen Brunson. A guy that didn't fit that bill when he was signed. It was more about, hey, they haven't had a point guard in forever. He brings stability. He's going to give you great point guard play, but now you got to build around him. You got to bring in a star. And that was sort of the mindset, at least from my point of view. But it ultimately ended up being Brunson was that superstar, and he's gotten better and better and better and better and better. And nobody embraces this city, this team, the history, the culture of this great city and this great franchise more than Brunson. And he started it all as far as the turnaround. But the way this team plays and the never give up mentality and the heart and the grit and the determination and the fight that they have shown. Look, when they were eliminated a couple years ago by the Pacers, they were up 2-0 in that series and Anunoby gets hurt and then the wheels fell off and attrition and injuries and it just was their undoing. And they lost in blowout fashion in Game 7 at home. Awful Game 6 in Indiana, and then even worse Game 7 after that thrilling Game 5 victory where I thought it was over. I thought they were going to win this series despite everything sort of not going their way injury-wise, and they're going to get through this one. And we all know what happened. Two just awful losses added to the list. But you know what happened after that series? And the Knicks fans were mocked for this. But who's laughing now? Knicks fans applauded this team. And no, not because the standards are beyond low. Knicks fans applauded this team because they understood that this was the start of something great. They understand if the team didn't get hurt, they would have won that series. They understand that this team is worth cheering for. They're worth supporting. Because you know this group is going to spill their guts out there. They're going to fight to the end. And the seeds of it were there. They were there in that series. And you understood, and Knicks fans understood, and I understood just how special this team could be. And that they had championship DNA. All they needed was experience. All they needed was depth. All they needed was to fill in a few more roster spots. And for the stars aligned and for everything to be at their back to get them to this moment, and then they would be able to take care of business. And that's exactly what happened. And we as Knicks fans, long and suffering, doesn't matter if you saw the championships or you're like me that didn't see it or you're even younger than me. It's long and suffering, or was, in front of Knicks fan. But that is no longer the reality. Now we get to party. Now we get to celebrate. And now we get to honor not only this great city that we live in, but also this great basketball team. And we get to do it over the course of several days. Now, as you know, if you've listened to After Hours and you've heard me over the last, you know, week or so, maybe even more, I've been talking about the parade, the parade, the parade, the parade. And I know for a lot of people in the audience, They don't like hearing that. They think that I'm going to mush the team. I'm going to jinx the team. Don't touch the money. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Don't be a mush. And I always felt very comfortable in my skin when I talked about it because I believed in this team. In many ways, I saw the script. I knew they were a team of destiny. I knew they had finally clicked at the right time. And everything was in their favor. And nothing was going to stop them. And they proved that night after night after night during this run. Nothing was going to stop them. Not 29-point lead. Look, they were down double digits in every single game. And they won the series in five. They got outplayed a lot. But you know what? When it came to Hart, not just Josh Hart, but I'm talking about an actual Hart. The Knicks were about a 50, and the Spurs were about a 3 on a 1 out of 10 scale.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
And when it came to the team and it came to the fans, we as New Yorkers wanted it more. This meant more to us. This drought, this team, this run meant more to us than it did Spurs fans. They've had their dynasty. They're probably looking at another one, although the Knicks are going to be standing in their way, that's for sure. And they've already stopped the coronation of Wemby as the face of the league. We'll get to him later. And this Spurs team, the celebration for San Antonio across the world and through the national media and the league itself, that's going to have to wait. Because no team, no player, no officiating, nothing. Injuries, nothing. Landry Shamet, I thought he was done. He walked off that court or limped off that court. I said, all right, we'll see you at the parade. He was back on the court at the end. Nothing was going to stop them. Nothing. And I felt that as I watched them. And that's where my confidence and cockiness grew and grew and grew and grew. And this team rewarded my confidence, my cockiness, and it rewarded all of us with a summer and a run here that we'll never forget. And a team that we'll never forget. Because the Knicks are back where they belong. And that is at the top of the NBA. That's where they should be. Because this city is basketball. We do play in the greatest arena ever. It is the Mecca of basketball. It is the cathedral of basketball. And for so many years, it was about the opposing player coming in that's a star, or the star dynasty team that's coming in, and about the celebrities that were there. And it wasn't really about the Knicks because they sucked. And it was more about, man, don't you remember the 90s? Huh, you think the 90s are great? You should have seen the championships. And it was kind of one of those things. And then people would be, well, what about Carmelo Anthony? Well, Carmelo Anthony compared to Patrick Ewing? And then somebody would go, oh, Patrick Ewing compared to Willis Reed? And it would go on and on and on and on and on. That'd be the conversation at the water cooler, at the barbershop, at the bar, on this radio station. Meanwhile, the team wasn't winning any championships, so it just became about, oh, well, you should have been here for this, you should have been there for that. And really, generations of Knicks fans were almost pitted against each other. Because it was about, well, this era was better than this era. Well, now this era, well, okay, wasn't better than that, but it's better than this. And it just, at some point, you're like, okay, they need to hire somebody to turn this franchise around, and they need to win a championship. Otherwise, we are going to be the laughingstock forever. And you never want to get comfortable in that position. It is a bad place to be in sports. You know, currently, I don't have to name the teams. One of them plays in this town. You don't want to be in that category. It is a bad place to be. You can get out of it. The Knicks proved it. But it is a tough, tough, tough place to own real estate. And look, the players change. The coaches change. Ownership might not change. But you know who stays the same? The fans. We are mated for life like geese with our team. There's no free agency in fandom. There's no, well, I'm going to get traded to the Lakers and I'm going to go root for them or the Celtics. Nope, you're with your team. For better or worse. And for this one, what we're going to experience over these next couple days and what we've experienced over the last 24 hours and what we're going to experience on Thursday. And I had, among several of my guests last night, I had Craig on, and Craig and I know are both very much parade, a lot of parade talk. It annoyed, I think, Evan a little bit, but so what? Because it was parade in our minds. And he had mentioned, you know, how many millions of people that he thinks are going to be there. And I think bare minimum, and he said this, 3 million. I think 3 million is bare minimum. Bare minimum. You're talking about the Cubs breaking their drought, the Red Sox breaking their drought, if the Bills ever win a Super Bowl, the Lions, these type of sports droughts for proud franchises, great sports towns, great fan bases, generations of suffering, and now we all get to celebrate this team. You don't think we're showing up in droves? From all corners of this world. And yeah, there'll be some bandwagon fans. But you know what? Welcome to New York. Are you new around here? If you're going to spend one moment of your life worrying about a bandwagon fan, who cares? It's called New York. How many bandwagon fans have been in a Yankee parade? A lot. When you are the toast of the of New York City, you're going to get people out of the woodworks. That's the way it works. So that only adds to the numbers. So that's where you could get 5 million on Thursday. But we know there's going to be an overwhelming majority, because that's a small percentage of people that are just here to be here as far as a huge scene. But that's what New York City's all about. We're about parties. We're about excess. We're about staying out till 5 in the morning. We're about, hey, it's 4 in the morning. I'm going to get a slice of pizza and then I'm going to go buy a car. Where else can you do that? But here. Where else do you have an arena with a regular Joe, regular Jane, and then Hollywood elites? All under the same roof, rooting for the same team. Like we're all little kids. That's New York City. But yeah, generations of Knicks fans waiting for this moment. And we finally got it. Let's go to Bob in Keyport here on After Hours. What's up, Bob?
What's going on, Loogie? How are you?
Great. Good to hear from you, Bobby.
Let's be real. Last night was one of the greatest analytical wins in San Antonio Spurs history.
You have to give credit to them.
Clutch analytical three.
No doubt.
Super clutch the Aaron Fox layup.
Yep.
How can we take that away from them?
We can. And I've heard from the mayor of San Antonio, they are going to have an analytical parade for the Spurs. It's going to set analytical records. I'm being told 4, 5, 6 million analytical people are going to show up to honor the analytical champions, because I know you and I have talked about this, that the Cavs were the analytical champions, but the Spurs had a little bit of a beef with that, and they had a one-off, I think, Bob. I don't know if you heard about this, and the Spurs are now the analytical champions, not the Cavs.
Well, that's complicated. The Cavs won the analytical finals analytically.
Yes.
The Thunder won the analytical finals regularly.
That's true.
Call Kenny for details. It's complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated. But here's the bottom line. The Knicks are the real champions, and everybody else analytically can fight over the analytical title. And they can have all the analytical parades they want. And yes, it was a bad playoff for the analytic people. And it started with Kenny Atkinson and went on from there. And I'm sure the Spurs could say, well, analytically, we were up double digits in every game. Great. Analytically, the Knicks kicked their ass in the fourth quarter. That's all I saw. That's what I was watching. And that's why my confidence never wavered with this team. Because I saw a group that was not going to ever give up. Ever. And when the going got tougher and it got later in the games, they got stronger, they got better, and they ran across that finish line. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a Loogie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to Solomon in Brooklyn here on The Fan. What's up, Solomon?
How you doing, Loogie?
Doing
good
great.
Evening.
Yeah, good evening to you as well.
Okay, I want both of us to sing the song. Yeah, I think you know Queen. You know the Queen of We Are the Champions.
Oh, of course, yes. So you want us to do our best, which is going to be very tough, our best Freddie Mercury impression.
Not yeah, easy. Ready? We are the champions.
We are the champions.
No time for me.
You kind of went off script there, Solomon. I feel like you went off script there with the lyrics. Did you try a different lyric there? I mean,
yeah,
this is a basic song.
It's all good to be the Knicks.
Has it been that long, Solomon, that it's been so long without a championship that we forgot the words? That's okay, pal. I'll give you an A for effort. Yeah, if you missed it last night, and I believe it was on YouTube. I got to talk to my YouTube people. But I was here with Anthony Gallo, weekend host, digital extraordinaire, member of the Carton Show. And Anthony and myself sang that song as we were little kids running around this radio station because we were on air when the Knicks won the championship. And we celebrated. The video has gone viral. It's all over social media. If you want to go on Twitter, you want to go on Instagram, Facebook, all the WFAN platforms, at WFAN 660. I shared it on all my platforms, at Tommy Lugauer, L-U-G-A-U-E-R. The video has gone completely berserk in terms of views. But that was the moment when they won the championship. And then we sang a song. Gallo popped some champagne outside, and I did a radio show for 3 hours. And not really a radio show. I basically sat here, talked to you on the phone, had some guests, and tried not to cry and take my pants off. That's basically what I did for 3 hours. I'm like, don't cry, because you're going to give the morning show about 4 hours of material on Monday. And then, although I heard Beningo earlier today crying, which I don't blame Joe. I mean, bro, the sands of time. I thought I'd never see a championship, bro. So I get it. When you are Joe and you have that mentality of, hey, who knows how much longer I got left? I'm getting a little bit up there. And you finally see this and all his teams haven't won in a while. I totally understand the emotion. But that's what the emotion of everybody right now. Let's go to KB in Brooklyn here on After Hours. What's up, KB?
Hey, Loogie, what's going on, my guy? Listen, man, you said this back. You said Knicks in 2026. And I said, yo, you just... Oh, man, you're going to jinx us. And then what my man said, and then Dolan went on your ear.
Yes, he did.
And he said, we not bringing up the that cup.
The NBA Cup.
We getting the ring.
Yep.
Yes, the NBA Cup. He's not putting that up.
Yep.
And you know what? I tell you right now, 53 years, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I was up since 8 p.m. yesterday. Right, I didn't go to bed till 1:30 this afternoon.
Wow,
I was running around.
Yeah,
I was running around. I was in Queens and Brooklyn, and anybody that I saw with a Knicks jersey, I said, "We got one, we got one." They can't take it away from us. And when it comes to do you understand what Brunson has done? He holds the record for the most points ever average. In the, for point guard, 32.6 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember what Coach Brown said? Why he's never up for MVP? Why? Because he's 6'2". He's not 6'7". He's not big. He's not athletic. but he's a killer.
Yeah, and
he's
wasn't in the
winner.
Club either. He wasn't in the club with the gatekeepers and letting him in, and they don't want the Knicks to be great, and they don't want a Knick player winning the MVP. We know the deal there. And it seems like hyperbolic, and, oh, you're just being a New Yorker. No, that's the reality. Nobody wanted the Knicks to be on the top of the mountain. Nobody wanted Jalen Brunson to be the face of the league. And guess what? Here we're sitting here, and both are accurate, KB.
But Lugi, we don't need it, no LeBron or Giannis.
Nope.
All
How
we need
is that
him.
That's right.
He's our own. Amazing. He's our own 6'2".
Yep.
Unathletic Jordan. He's our killer. He's our Kobe.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
Yeah.
And they could never. I don't care about what the Spurs say. I don't care what the haters say. They could never take this away from us. I'm so happy. New York is so happy. He's the best Nick.
Yeah,
he's the best Nick. He got us here.
Well, not the best of all time, but he's third on my list now. He wins a couple more championships, he'll be number one. But he's the king of New York. And I think KB, and look, he's obviously been up for a lot of hours. When he said unathletic, I think he means comparable to other athletes. He is athletic. He is, I think, the best player in the league right now. It's hard to say he's not athletic. But I understand where you're coming from. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are like KB that stayed up through the night, through the morning, went to bed around the afternoon, got up, and are still celebrating and basking in the glory of a championship. And we will do that throughout the overnight here, throughout the after hours till 5 a.m., then Alan Jerry, then Boomer and Geo, then Evan and Tiki and Sean, Carton Show, then I'm back with you at 7 o'clock. The party, the celebration, the honoring of this great team is just getting started. I'm sure we'll hear from a lot of surprise guests over the next 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, and we will lead you all the way up until the parade on Thursday down the canyon of freaking heroes for our Knicks. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We're going to take all your calls tonight. It's you, it's me, it's all of us enjoying this moment together. Lugie in the Late Night, Tommy Lugauer. It's After Hours here on The Fan.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your
reality
podcast.
Reality Gaze. Let's love.